Gilspadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertiser.
On New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia, and as the song says, I am back. Good to be back with you on this Monday morning. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. So I hope your two working days till Monday were outstanding. The weather certainly was summer, Dan.
Summer,
wow,
right?
Summer.
Yeah.
I loved it. I you know, it was hot. I mean, I was in a suit, you know, going to work, but it was hot, but in the shade it felt really good. I didn't find it as oppressive humid wise as I thought we were gonna have.
I mean, Saturday got hot. We were in the 90s, and then that humidity broke with some pretty intense thunderstorms Saturday night. We had a ton of wind damage from those storms that swept through right after dinner time on Saturday. And then they fizzled out, and then they were gone, and I thought yesterday was a beautiful day.
Yesterday was absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. We finally got to all the outside work that needed to be done.
Yes, yeah.
And it's done. The plants are out. The flowers are out. Like, we got the work done.
Nice.
The wind was, it was windy. It got windy. We had a storm blow through, but not a lot of rain.
A couple of little storms yesterday. Yeah. There was little spot showers, and then it got
dark,
breezy.
And
new air mass coming in.
Yeah.
So we've got drier air in play today. So it's been breezy overnight. This is our new comfortable air mass coming in. We
chilly
even had a couple
morning,
of sprinkles.
Yeah.
A little refreshing breeze.
So what can we expect all week?
So let's break the week in two. First part of the week, today and tomorrow, really nice, refreshing weather. Comfortable, low humidity days. You know, I love low humidity. Yep. It's a treat this time of year. Today we're going to be in the 70s. Tomorrow closer to 80 with nice dry air, dry weather. Just beautiful days today and tomorrow.
If you have to pick, not that we're betting.
Yeah.
Today or tomorrow, the nicest day?
Because
you seem torn in early report this morning.
Yeah, it depends on what you like. I like today because I love temperatures in the 70s, but I think people who like it a little warmer will like tomorrow better.
All right,
today might be a little cool, like for the beach.
Today's my day. Tomorrow's Jody's day.
There you go.
That's how we do it. Right?
There you go. Now, starting on Wednesday, we will see some changes. Clouds come back. Humidity really ramps up.
Really?
And that's our next chance of rain, too. We're going to see like a daily chance of showers and thunderstorms Wednesday and Thursday.
Got it.
Probably Friday and Saturday, too. So a bit more unsettled through the middle to late part of the week.
And I'll ask you about the weekend on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think we're still going to salvage most of the weekend. There's no major storm systems in sight. It's just a matter of kind of where temperatures land and whether we could zap some of this tropical humidity. It's going to get really humid this week.
All right,
so hopefully, you know, we could get rid of some of that steaminess in the air by the time the weekend comes along and we're left with something nice. That would be great.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dan.
You got it.
All right, Eric, I don't even know where to begin today. Is it the stabbings at Penn Station? Did you see that yesterday?
Wow.
What the hell?
How terrifying.
Can you imagine? You're standing on the platform, or you're in the concourse waiting to get to your track, and you're thinking about what you're having for lunch, and some lunatic with a knife. I mean, it was jarring to hear that. I had already, you know, people ask me, do you drive in every weekend? I'm like, yes. And I've said, because I just, the whole public transit system in New York City is, it's devolved from the smell of pot and urine and the homeless. And, you know, people act like, they have all this empathy and you got a guy lying on the street. And look, it's a fellow human being. Yes, they need help. They don't belong on the street. This is the problem.
Agreed. But, you know, what are you going to do about it? What's the solution, right? I mean, we've been talking about this for as long as we've been sitting here.
Well, think about how quickly they erected those tent hospitals that we never needed, by the way, during COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't have encampments set up and temporary housing set up to get these people the mental health they need. I mean, you know, you could have easily had 5 deaths at Penn Station. Thankfully, no one was killed.
One person was seriously injured. And then, you know, the guy is in custody. Police say that he was a emotionally disturbed homeless man. I mean, part of the issue is that, you know, you'd have to round up a lot of these individuals and take them into custody because they won't voluntarily go into a shelter.
Well, think about it. Loitering is legislated against in small towns, in large cities. You know, the idea that you legally cannot sleep on a street. They are just ignoring the vagrancy laws.
That is true. And the argument against it has been, you know, what you just mentioned. A lot of these people have mental health issues,
yeah,
and you can't force them to stay at a shelter. But you can force them off the street. They'll just find another place to go.
Well, or you arrest them. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, one of the reasons he was one of the great mayors in New York City is he, remember, he started arresting people for jaywalking.
I mean, it
was no joke, and crime dropped through the floor. It's frustrating to me because I think it's only a matter of time before this nonsense spills here. I mean, I'm watching it in California. I'm watching it in New York City. I don't know how bad the problem is in Newark, but it's, or Trenton. It's certainly not there yet. But, you know, if you've taken the train out of Trenton, I mean, Jody's mom, I mean, here she is, you know, 84, and she's taken the train. Her health is back, and she's better. So I've taken her to the train in Trenton to get up to New England. The other day, and this was probably a couple months ago, some guy just walking around in the front of the train station with his pants half down, screaming, and running around cars. And I'm watching the police.
I think I've seen that guy.
You may have seen him. Yeah. But the police don't arrest him.
No.
They walk up to him like, hey, you got to get out of the street.
Yeah.
And then the cop walks away. And I'm thinking, this is a dangerous situation.
It certainly can be, because you don't know if somebody is unstable. The very definition of that is that they're unpredictable. And that appears to be what happened on the New Jersey Transit platform at Penn Station in New York. And, you know, I can remember when I was taking the trains and the subways, it was fascinating to me the number of people that would stand right on the edge of the platform to watch for the train.
Yeah.
And this was at a time when you had a number of these push incidents where, you know, somebody would come by and push you right onto the tracks.
I would
stand back right by the wall.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Even in London now, you see it where the crowd stays so far back from the yellow line. Like, people gather against the wall.
Yes.
Because it happens. I don't know. Last time I took, I haven't taken the train. I mean, London, I take the trains and the buses. They're clean. They're efficient. They're safe, and they're on time. Here, I drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a question for you this morning. Are you concerned now? You know, you got the Knicks game tonight. The president's supposedly going to tonight's game. What chaos is that going to cause? Boy, Trump just gets in his own way and everyone else's way. It is amazing. The chaos tonight. I'm happy I don't have to be in Manhattan tonight. If you're going to the Knicks game, what are you expecting? And are you going to take transit and get into Penn Station? Is it worth the risk anymore? Are you taking the train every day? And what are your thoughts on how we clean up this mess of homeless violence? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:16 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
Spring days, hot topics. New Jersey's conversation lives here. New Jersey 101.5.
6:23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talk to Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So I am not good for public transportation, what happened yesterday. So New York City, Penn Station, 5 people stabbed, 1 very seriously injured, a crazed homeless man with a knife. I have said this, and I've been saying this for years. If you remember, in Lakewood, there was a tent city. And this is probably going back. I mean, this is my days on chasing. So you're going back to, I'm going to say probably 8 years ago, maybe 6, 7 years, maybe 2018, something like that. And I remember talking about this and raising the ire of the liberal do-gooders when I said they ought to just move in and take it down, and that's it. And if you're crazy, then you get locked up, and hopefully you get the help that you need. If you're not, you got to move on. And I said, look, there are vagrancy laws. There are laws to prevent people from sleeping in the streets. And you might say housing is expensive, this, that, and the other. Okay, but you don't, the public areas are not your home. They're not your bathroom. They're not your bedroom. They're not your kitchen. That's it. And there is, if we are in New Jersey going to spend $20 million, which the governor is doing, to provide legal services to aliens, criminal aliens, to allow them to sue their own government, to stay, our own government, not theirs, to be allowed to stay in America, even though they came here illegally, we have the money to put up some temporary housing and shelters to get people off the street. There should be no homelessness. They call them unhoused. What a stupid PC term to try to soften the blow. The reality is that it's dangerous because these are not people that just fell on hard times. In almost every case, they're drunks, they're drug addicts, or they're mentally ill. And the idea that you could be taking your family to the Knicks game tonight and you might have some insane homeless person with a knife. Oh, security would be good because the president's coming? Well, fine. What about the rest of the time? And by the way, I think it's massive ego move for Trump to go tonight. The disruption, the fact that you got to get to the game 2 to 3 hours earlier. You're going to have to go through a TSA-level security. It's amazing to me. And MAGA, of course, will defend it, and they'll say, oh, he's going to write, he's been a Knicks fan his whole life. That's true. But my God, the optics, like, have some situational awareness, Mr. President. You know, it's like there's no concern anymore with these politicians. What he ought to do is he ought to be flying to Los Angeles to have to start the investigation into the clear fraud of the election that was just stolen from Spencer Pratt. And what's really ridiculous is Pratt was never going to win the general in blue Los Angeles. But you had this unknown socialist woman get almost half of all the mail-in ballots that came in after Election Day. That were counted after Election Day. So it's they stole another one. I mean, I don't know if there are people still thinking Joe Biden got 81 million votes, most in history in 2020. But if you gave the government and the backroom elites a pass on that one, this one is so obvious that it is nearly impossible not to see the fraud. But don't worry, we got a war going on, we got elections being stolen, we got kids being trans, but the president's going to go hang out at the Knicks game tonight. Meanwhile, it'll be secure for the one day because he's there, and then the rest of us go back to normal, and you've got dangerous armed homelessness. We've got our priorities backward, guys. Things are not good, and I don't mean to make this out to be, hey, the sky is falling. No, we have solutions to these problems. We just don't have politicians working on them. That's the problem. All right, Bill and Marlton, hang in there. You'll be first on the other side of the news with Eric Scott next. I've 6:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So I'm very concerned about what happened at Penn Station yesterday. And I realize not everybody's talking about it, maybe because they don't all know about it. But in 1970, the Supreme Court struck down as what I'm going to quote, constitutionally vague. That was their reasoning. They gutted most of the vagrancy laws. So they said, you got to define what it is, Eric, right? So now we have different rules about public safety. Right. They're the same thing. They're repackaged, but they're largely unenforced. And that's part of the problem. And you know, I look at this. I did a little deep dive on this, and 80% of homeless people across the country have a substance abuse problem. 8 out of 10, which is amazing. And another 25% have a mental illness. This is, again, according to the addiction centers. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a pretty much agreed across the board. Now, there's no word on what the overlap is. So if you assume that the overlap is 100%, meaning the 25% mentally ill are within the addicted, that's still 4 out of 5 homeless people that should not be on the street, that need help. You can take this from a liberal standpoint. You know, the whole idea of kicking these folks around and basically saying, well, you can't be held anywhere, go live where you want, has really turned south. I mean, here we are 50 years later, and it's bad.
Well, it only adds to the mental health crisis, right? So these are individuals that don't just need shelter or food or a job. These are individuals that need mental health and substance use assistance. And that's part of the issue, because where are they going to get that? And you've seen from homeless advocates time and time again have shared that, you know, it's, you can't just round them up in a paddy wagon and dump them off in a tent city or a converted hotel or something like that. They have a need for care. And that's care that's not available, frankly, easily to the general population, let alone to those that are homeless.
Maybe it's just my frustration that the governor announced another $12 million to provide legal services for criminal aliens. And I'm thinking, I don't know, you know, give a couple of those millions to Daniel Regan and CFC Loud and Clear and see how many people he could help if he had a windfall of $5 million. You know, look at any of these groups out there that do good work like that, and you might actually be able to solve. I don't think it's, you know, in New Jersey especially, I don't know, I haven't looked yet, I will have it in my article, but what the percentage is and how many people are actually considered homeless in New Jersey. Certainly not as bad as it is in San Francisco or New York or L.A., but it's getting there.
Well, it is a problem that is going to continue to grow, right? Because especially now that you've seen it every time that there's an issue with the economy, and, you know, people are really a couple of paychecks away from being homeless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you add that on top of the homelessness that's already out there and then the mental health crisis that we have. And you can see where this is all kind of heading. And there's very little time, attention, and government money really paid towards solving the issue.
Mm-hmm. In New Jersey, so I looked it up, about 120,000, it looks like. 13,000. I read that wrong. 13,748 people across the state. So it really is not a problem in New Jersey yet.
But there's pockets of it. There's pockets, and
it's still
every 13,000 town is
people that need help.
Yeah. I mean, right? you're not discounting the amount, but yeah. There are pockets. And you've had other towns that have passed anti-vagrancy ordinances and loitering ordinances that have given police the tools to round these people up. And in many cases, you know, they're offered help. If they refuse that help, it's like you don't have to. You can't stay here. You got to go find another place to go.
Yeah, it's just it's pretty amazing. I mean, I've got a lot more to look into, but it's, to me, the way I look at this is, you know, you've got the side of people need help. You've got the other side that people also have a right to have access that is safe and clean. And I don't have to tell you, I mean, you know, now that I'm going in every week, the number of people, I had a meeting after the show a couple of weeks ago with one of the actors that we're working with on another film. And we met in New York. She was staying in New York. We're like, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. And as we're sitting having a cup of coffee, having this discussion in the movie, this guy walks in. He's got a piece of pizza that is dripping onto his shirt and leg. He's holding it. A cigarette that had not been tapped coming out of his mouth. His hair is sticking straight up, and he's just yelling. Just yelling. And I'm like, what in the hell? And I'm looking around the restaurant, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm going to leave before I do something about that, because I'm, you know, the next viral video, I'm watching the staff, and I'm thinking, is somebody going to call the police? So one of the waiters came out and kind of gently nudged him back on the street. So, well, that's the problem. He's now back on the street, going to the next place.
But you're also, you know, you're taking literally your life in your own hands if you do that and you confront them. Because look at what just happened with a homeless guy on the train platform. You don't know how quickly it's going to escalate, if it's going to escalate, if the guy has a weapon. I mean, you're only seeing a cigarette and a pizza, but you don't know what he's got in his pocket.
You don't know what he's got in his pocket. You don't know. You also don't know, you know, we saw this at the protests, at the riots at Delaney Hall. Someone bit one of the agents. Oh. So there's that too. Like, yeah, these people are like really out there, and it's not normal, and you can spot what's not normal. So anyway, I am in favor now of resurrecting the vagrancy laws. And I think it's time to start, rounding these people up and spending any money we were going to spend on the illegals. We ought to be rounding the illegals up and throwing them the hell out of the country. And let's get Americans the help they need. Let's go to Bill in Marlton. What do you got, Bill?
Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing, man?
Good, man. What do you got?
I have a question about Easy Pass.
All right.
Yeah, question about Easy Pass.
Sure.
My credit card expired, and I racked up like a bunch of tolls, and I went in to go pay. Mm. And it wouldn't allow me to pay unless if I paid the processing fee.
Mm-hmm.
So the total bill is like $4,200.
Oh, my 80, God.
85, yeah, I know. Like 85% of it is the $25 and $50 fees for the processing. So I was wondering two things. One is, can they suspend my license? Like, I want to pay the toll, but I don't want to pay the processing fee. Can they suspend my license? And what can I do to...
They are not a government authority, so I don't believe they can suspend your license. I think they might be able to appeal to a judge or to the Department of Transportation. It's possible that you could end up losing your license, but Easy Pass can't do it. How are you going about that? I mean, it seems outrageous that you'd have to pay that much. Have you talked to a human being yet?
No. Well, you know what it's like calling.
I know. I know.
Any agency. So, I mean, I haven't done much aside from like,
how did you let it rack up that much?
I mean, I don't have the money.
How did you let it rack up that much? I'm just trying to understand. Like, were you just ignoring it?
Yeah, it was 3.5 weeks. I was just ignoring it. And then when I went in to go update my credit card and then pay the tolls, it wouldn't allow me to do it. So,
you know, I went through that. I had to pay. I ended up calling them and speaking to a human. And they waived most of the fees. So
how'd you get a human?
Let me try to help you. There is a hotline. The person that I was working with has since retired, but let me find out for you. So do me a favor, Bill. Hang on the line. Producer Tom is going to get all your information, your email and stuff. Let me see if I can dig up a contact for you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I'm on it. All right, man. You got it. That sucks. Hey, by the way, if anybody else can help with that, if you are listening and you work for Easy Pass, is there something? Because the person that I was working with has since retired, and I don't have a good contact yet, but I'm going to try to find it to help this guy out. But if anybody knows anybody at Easy Pass, is there a simple way of just getting someone on the phone? I mean, this is the kind of thing that the government should be helping us with. One of the things I'm going to suggest he does is call a state senator, but you know how useless most of the politicians are. So let me know if somebody can help this guy out. In the meantime, I'm going to look for a solution for him. And let me ask you, do you agree it's time that we reinstate vagrancy laws? You should not be allowed to sleep on the street, period, end of sentence. You either own property, rent property, or you've got to go somewhere. And I think it's time that American governments across the country, and certainly in New Jersey, say we're not going to allow this idea that we've got tens of thousands of people sleeping outside at night, knowing that a good portion, if not most, if not all of them, have a mental illness or an addiction. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 6:47 is the time. Traffic on the next.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
Big Belly Bagels. Doesn't sound like they're marketing this as a health food.
In brick.
Big Belly Bagels in brick. It's fun to say.
You know you want to call. You know you want to try the tower.
I want to try the tower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not delicious. A big bagel guy. Anymore, but I'm kind of tempted. I got to be honest. I'm listening to you, and I hate the whole pork roll Taylor Ham debate because it's just not.
You would
real.
Hate the pork roll Taylor Ham debate because everybody loves to fight about the pork roll Taylor Ham debate.
Here's why I hate it. I will explain.
Okay,
it's not. It's disingenuous and it's not factually accurate. Here's the problem. Pork roll is a product. It's a roll of pork. Actually, a chub of pork is what they call it, which is weird and another story. Taylor is a company.
Yeah.
Case is another company.
Yeah.
The debate should be between Taylor Ham and Case Pork Roll.
Yes.
But no one ever mentions Case, and it drives me crazy because they're right here in Trenton.
So
they're
you're
great
taking
guys.
A side in this debate, and this is why you're angry about it.
Yes, because I'm drawn into it because I'm like, you are debating between a product of a company and the actual product. I'm like, we should have the Case Taylor ham battle.
Shall
and we never
bring
hear
up
Case.
Some bad memories and go back to that time you were in a pork roll sandwich eating competition, as I recall?
See, this is why radio is therapy for me, Dan. Because this is like I'm on the couch and you just got me to go back to a deep memory and it was horrible.
As I recall, you ate 6.5
I did.
Pork roll sandwiches in 10 minutes.
I did.
And then you wouldn't even look at a pork roll sandwich again for many months afterwards.
Years. It was years.
Yes.
Even today, I pass on it. Like, I just, because it brings back the memory of the somebody sent me a picture. There's a picture out there of me actually eating the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the goofy t-shirt on.
I remember
on.
The video, and you look absolutely miserable.
Miserable.
Now, to be fair, the winner of that contest was the legend Joey Chestnut.
Yes.
Who we had in studio, delightful guy.
Good
and
guy.
And he ate something like 30-something.
42.
Yeah, 42 pork roll sandwiches. And, you know, whooped you as expected.
Yeah. I was not expected to win. The bet was if I could eat 6, and the Trenton Thunder bet against me. They actually said, no way you'll eat 6. And that's why I powered through. I was going to win that bet, but
yes, you did.
I suffered for it. I don't think I even ate any food for 2 days. Like, I was so, it was so gross, Dan.
Oh, memories.
Thank you for that. Yeah. All right, on the other side, I want to talk about this, the Knicks game tonight and how you're getting there and this idea of that we've got homeless guys stabbing people at Penn Station. And then a sidebar, I'm getting some heat from my Republican friends because I don't think Donald Trump should be going to the game tonight. It's not a personal attack on him. I just think it's seriously disruptive for commuters, et cetera. I mean, I think tip-off is at 8 o'clock, and you're going to have literally presidential-level security at one of the main thoroughfares going in and out of Manhattan. I'm annoyed. I'm honestly, I'm glad I don't have to go to New York tonight. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 657 is the time. Eric Scott with the news next.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey 101.5.
708 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, we're talking about just the outrageousness of the taxation in this state. Eric, you and I were talking about the Anchor program and Ken and Piscataway. Ken, I'll bring you in. You wanted to talk about Anchor, and I was talking about the illegals. They gave away $20 million. Ken, I can't hear Ken.
Yes.
Hey, Ken, now I can hear you. So she didn't take away. Eric and I were just talking about this. The Anchor program, as far as I understand, is still intact. The problem is that Stay NJ and Anchor and Senior Freeze are all lumped together.
They all wrap them into one application now.
Yeah. Right? So if you were thinking, if you're paying $10,000 in property taxes, but you already get something from Anchor or you benefit from the Senior Freeze, that's why people were getting like a $30 check from Stay NJ. And they're like, what the hell? I thought it was going to be half. People were literally sold that you would get thousands of dollars back. Ken, what happened to you?
Okay, I'm a Vietnam vet and Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, thank you.
Yeah. They took our Anchor money away from us, but now she's going to give all these illegals all these millions of dollars?
Yeah, $20 million, $12 million just got added to it.
Additional.
Right, additional 12. But, Eric, what's going on with the Anchor program? Do we know?
Well,
we didn't get no money.
So Ken's not getting any money.
It's income based, but it's usually not the previous year's income. I have to look up and see what income year they're looking at right now. So it can change year by year. But when they lumped everything together, Senior Freeze, Stay NJ, Anchor, all of that stuff together, they've made the application process that much more difficult. And you don't know what you're applying for. And a lot of times, like, you'll go on and it'll say it's in process.
Yeah.
But there's no other information available on the website.
What did you get last year, Ken? Did you get anything back?
Yeah, I got $700 back.
And what happened this year?
I didn't get a zero, nothing.
Wow. What? Where's is in charge of that we can get Ken some help?
Treasury. That goes through Treasury.
All right, so what I'm going to do, Ken, is I want to get, I don't know who your local state senator is. We'll look that up. But this is it's a real problem. And it might just be a paperwork issue, Ken, on your end. Not your fault. I mean, my guess is you're not working, right?
No, I'm retired, and I live on a special income. But every year, all of us are looking for that money, you know what I'm saying? That will help us.
Yeah, of course. Well, you should be able to count on it. This is the problem, Ken. It's disgusting to me that you've got a retired veteran, served his country, yes, living on a fixed income, and you've got these miserable criminal aliens that have been allowed in. Biden opened the floodgate. All of a sudden, you got 20-some million people here. New Jersey alone, the estimate is 900,000, and that's from Paul Knitra in a report that he put together. I don't know if that number is accurate or not, but we know it's pretty high. My guess is that that number is probably higher than 900,000 because you see what's going on. You see how many people. I was telling you, Eric, I don't know if you've seen this house yet. I'm convinced this house is a safe house for illegals.
I've driven by it a couple of times.
Yep.
I've seen the cars that you were talking about.
Yeah. So a couple of days ago, so it was like 8 cars, and then a few days later, 0 cars. And I'm passing it at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I don't buy it. They're not all just hustling out to work. I think they're going to do a pickup. And to Ken, to your point, we're paying for that. We are subsidizing essentially a magnet for illegal takers to come and take literally food off the table of our retired vets. It's sickening to me, Ken. I'm angry for you, but you sound actually less angry than I am. I'm all ginned up now. Have you tried calling your state elected officials?
Yes, I did.
What did they say?
He told me, don't worry, we'll check it out.
So that's Ken's Piscataway.
Piscataway, who
that's
is that?
That's 17. So that would be Bob Smith is the state senator.
That's right, yeah. Bob Smith.
And Bob Smith's office said, we'll look into it.
Yep, I haven't heard back on nothing yet.
So, all right, do me a favor. If you can, Ken, I want to put you on hold. Producer Thomas is going to get your information. We're going to send it to Bob's office and say, hey, what's going on? And then we'll give out his number and ask our listeners to call Bob Smith's office to see if they have looked into why veteran Ken did not get a check this year. We're on it. I'm going to put you on hold.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Semper Fi. Appreciate you. All right, let's take a break for traffic and weather next, 7:17.
From your morning coffee to your ride home, Jersey's talking. Phil Spadia, Judy and EJ, Dominski and more, Eric Scott and Trev. Join the conversation on New Jersey 101.5.
Zero. 7:21 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. All right. So, Jill.
This whole building has Monday. We have Monday.
It really
does. Our neuro connectors are not connecting.
No, they're not.
The entire building. Like, it's not just you, Bill.
I heard things that weren't being said.
You heard things that weren't being said.
Could be the voices in my head.
I was having I was having a birtation where some things were coming out of my mouth.
You were.
I was like.
So I, penmanship. Let's just talk about that for a second.
What's penmanship?
When you were a kid, right? I know. We're old enough to know what that is.
That was on the report card.
It was on the report card. You got graded on your penmanship. And today you ask a kid what a penmanship, they're like, what are you even talking about, weirdo? And, you know, or no, what is it, boomer? Boomer. Yeah. Am I a boomer now? Boomer. I'm not, though.
No.
Gen X. Anyway. So I ask, so we got Len or Ken, who's an older veteran, mm-hmm, who he's not getting his anchor check. So I'm like, well, who's your state senator?
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me, and he's made attempts to call this guy. So I say to Thomas, you know what we're going to do? It's Bob Smith, by the way. I'm like, I'm going to read his number and email on the air and have people contact him to say, hey, where's Ken's money?
All right. So this is important. If you want to read it on the air, you want to get it right.
So Producer Thomas walks in and he goes through my inbox here, which is building because I haven't checked it in 2 months.
Mm.
So don't mail me anything, by the way, guys, because it's in the inbox.
I want to put a net on that
thing.
He's
looking for a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Annette should probably take a look at this. And he finds it, and he wrote this. Now, I'm going to try to read what this says.
Thomas. Okay.
Sen 13 Smut NJ Less. That's what I got from this.
That's not right, and you know that's not right.
So take a look, Jill.
Okay, the fourth thing looks like the artist formerly known as Prince.
It looks like a symbol. It does. Yeah. Now, Thomas, you are a good sport, but we're just poking a little fun at your lack of penmanship. But you're not alone.
No, I'm not alone.
Apparently, Charlie.
Oh, yes. Our other, who's another producer here. And Annette.
It's a huge problem. It's a generational thing. You guys were never, because everyone's texting. You can't spell, right? You can't. It's amazing.
Also,
I am fat thumbed when I'm texting. So there's no doubt. I look like I'm in this generation that can't spell because you leave the misspellings. You're like, yeah, whatever. They know what I'm saying.
But also that generation, to my right here, Thomas, that generation learned to print so quickly. It's called like printive. It's like cursive and printing.
Because what do you call it?
Printive? I'm just
printive.
Naming it.
I like
I'm calling
that.
It printive.
Printive.
Like because you're printing so fast.
Yes.
That, day, we had cursive.
But here's what's interesting, though. Thomas, you chose to use lowercase and uppercase.
Yes.
I use only uppercase when I write. I write in block uppercase letters.
Especially if it's...
I'm shouting every time I write. But here's why. Because my penmanship as a kid was horrible. Mm-hmm. Like I was terrible at cursive. I couldn't read it.
But websites and email addresses are important because there are upper and lowercase.
Yes.
In that are
right.
Defining the.
So I just thought it was funny. It looked like a 13 to me. You thought it looked like the print symbol.
And then it looked like he wanted to correct something. If you're going to correct something, you have to write boldly over it.
So there are just two words. Like you went Sen Smith and then realized there's a B in there.
Yes, I did not know there was a B in there. So I tried to correct the B in there. So I put the B in there.
It was your correction attempt that I'm now mocking.
Well, because I saw that big and I realized, I'm like, I don't have enough room for the rest of this email. So I tried
to
write.
That was the thing. And what's funny is, so I'm busting on him, and he actually was nice about it. He came in and apologized. He's like, I'm sorry, I ran in a room. And I'm like, I'm going to make fun of you anyway.
That's okay.
That's pretty much what happened.
My girlfriend will make fun of me for my handwriting. She'll call it boy handwriting.
Oh,
I wonder if it's more guys that can't write.
I actually do agree with her on that.
Is Charlie coming in today?
You know what?
If he does, or if someone can text him, I would like for him to write this email.
Okay.
senbsmith@njleg.org and then take a picture of it so I can share it.
Okay, will do.
Just don't tell them what it's for.
Okay.
Just tell them, write it out, and I want to see. I'm going to do the same thing with Mike Brandt.
Here's the weird thing. When Thomas dots an I, he does a little heart symbol.
Yeah?
No, I'm kidding.
This has devolved. All right. Listen, everybody hang in there. Kathy, Sal, I really want to get the helpline is open. Let's just call it that. We're opening the helpline. I will get to Small Business Monday, but I if you've got a problem, I want to solve it. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 7:26 is the time. I'm going to take a quick break for news with Eric Scott in 4 minutes. 7:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I just want to let Bill know, who called earlier about his Easy Pass troubles. $4,200 in fees racked up. I have been in touch with the team, and you should be getting a call from someone today. So, Bill, if you're listening, if you don't hear back today, please give us a call tomorrow on the show. But I'm hoping we solved it. You know why? Because I like to solve problems.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Let's go to Sal in New Egypt. What's your problem, Sal?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What can I do for you?
Good. Okay. I live in a 55 and over community in New Egypt called The Venue in Longview.
Okay.
And it's relatively new. I mean, they finalized the last stages last year. But when I bought in 2022, they advertised a tax abatement.
Okay.
That's what they advertised it as. As we went along all these years, we found out it's a pilot program.
Yeah.
Not a tax abatement. So, and then...
Which means your senior, I don't think you qualify, Sal, in a pilot program for anything.
Absolutely. That's why I'm calling. We're the only 55 and over in New Jersey that has a pilot program. Never heard of it before. I know there's towns that have pilot programs, like...
Sal, I knocked on doors with friends to, you know, campaigning. I mean, this was a big deal, and you're not alone. I don't know what the solution is, though. So you literally don't qualify for your veterans benefits or your senior freeze or any of it.
Well, I think we are qualified for now, and thanks for some of the help from Assemblyman Sawicki, the state of New Jersey. They'll honor a pilot program on that, but that's going to go away. As you keep on hearing on the news, our new governor wants to get rid of it. So that's the only thing we have in our favor at the moment. The rest of the stuff, like you said, we have a lot of veterans. I'm one that lives in this development. People with disabilities, people on fixed income, 65 and over. Now they get no tax breaks. They get no anchor. They get no senior freeze or anything. So there's got to be something that this is discrimination against senior citizens, that we could fight this. Something, right?
Well, I remember, I mean, your former mayor, Dominic Cuzzo, was
a good friend of mine, yes.
He's a good man. Dominic was a great mayor and, you know, got on the wrong side of the back room. And, you know, here we are, and he's not the mayor anymore. And it's a shame because he's a smart, effective leader. And, you know, when Dominic and I were knocking on doors with some of the local candidates, that issue came up over and over again. I don't know what if you talk to Zwicky about this, but it seems to me that you might have a case if you got a lawyer as a community and got the residents together to sue. And I wonder if you could get some of your money back. I don't know. It would be better if the laws would just change. I don't know why a pilot program for residential is not considered by the state as taxation.
Right. Because right? The federal government looks at it. They don't care what you call it. It goes towards your property. It's a property tax.
You can deduct that as a part of your SALT deductions on your federal taxes. Yes, I agree.
Yes.
So I don't know. Let me ask you this: What are you thinking? What have you? Are you calling me cold? Asking what do you think?
No. I've been involved with this in a while. I met you a few times with Dominic, and you were campaigning. I was at the functions and stuff. I met you a few times. I spoke to you. It was me and Dominic are good friends still to this day. He's a good man, like you said.
Yeah, he is.
Something's got to be done. It's discrimination against senior citizens and people with disabilities and veterans. It's got to be something that protects us. You know what I'm saying?
I agree 100%. Has Alex Zwicky drafted a bill that would reclassify the pilot programs in terms of the state as a tax?
He's working on something right now. Actually, I'm the chairperson of the civics club in my community. And Zwicky's coming to talk to us tomorrow night at our meeting.
Okay. Sal, when he comes tomorrow night, tell him to send me a note about what the bill is that he's going to put forth. We are going to promote it. We'll give out legislators phone numbers and emails, and let's get some traction on this. Got to happen. Absolutely got to happen.
Very good.
All right. Thank you. Tell him to send that to me when you see him tomorrow. All right. Thank you, Sal.
I will.
All right, my friend. Good talking to you. Look, we try to solve problems. You can't solve them all, but I will fight for you. All right, Kathy, Juan, hang in there. I'll be right back. 743, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Big Joe Henry is bringing you Jersey's biggest hits and biggest laughs every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. Plus traffic, weather, and all the fun only Big Joe can deliver. Big Joe Henry, weekends on New Jersey 101.5. Bro.
.754 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. Let's jump right back in. Juan and Roselle. What's going on, Juan? I hear, Juan, that you have a problem.
Yes. I got a big problem. Yo, I'll
solve it. What do you got, Juan?
I got a big problem, brother.
All right, tell me.
It's
The Easy Pass predicament that the gentleman called earlier.
Yep, Bill. Yep.
Bill, we're kind of sort of in the same boat.
All right, tell me. What happened?
They had a field day, first of all, with my credit card.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you leave your credit card? They give an estimated amount of tolls, and they will charge that amount. Being that
yeah,
I do a
I
lot
know.
Of traveling.
I have a recurring charge. I mean, I get hit. I mean, I'm going in now 2 to 4 times a week, so I am getting hit hard with Easy Pass. It's almost $100 a week. It's nuts.
I pass you, puppy.
Yeah, tell me.
I pass you. So now they send the collection notices.
How much do you owe?
Oh, it's like about $2,000, $2,500.
So how did you get there?
Well, being that I replenish my card on my time, not their time. When I'm, you know, I have a weekly, but sometimes I pass. And then what time they process the fee, your money, it's a day, sometimes over a day. So if I go through, I put the card in today and I go through today, I'm going to be negative. So now they're going to send me a bill with their clerical fee on it for the $19 or whatever it is on the toll.
Okay.
So I agree. I got to pay my toll. I have to pay my due, which is my toll. But this $50 surcharge for paperwork, which is done by a computer, is ridiculous. And that's where they nab you, and that's where they get you.
So you now have a bill of $2,000?
Yeah, I got a bill. I'm up there. My wife just told me that.
Have you called Easy Pass? Have you contacted them?
Well, it's in my wife, so she's the one that's got to call. I can't call them.
Do me a favor, Juan.
Yes.
Your wife call in the next day. I want to try to solve this week. So have her call today if she can.
Yes.
And then call me tomorrow if you tell me what happened with Easy Pass. You couldn't get someone. They gave you the runaround. Tell me the story tomorrow of what happened. And if you solve it, tell me that too. But if not, I'm going to try to get you in touch with somebody that can help. But I need to be able to tell them you've exhausted every attempt.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Because I want to. So try it today, and then call me tomorrow and let me know what happens. Good.
All right, you got it, partner. Thank you,
Juan. Appreciate you, man. All right, Kathy, please hang in there. I do want to talk to you. We have a lot of people with questions about Stay NJ, and I know you're dealing with this every day. So I want your insight. I'm just going to have to wait till Eric Scott does the news at 8.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, let's jump right in. Kathy in Medford Lakes, you are a tax collector. Thank you for your patience. We've been getting calls all morning, Kathy. People upset. Eric and I were talking earlier how they basically lied. Shock. Where they pitched Stay NJ, which, for the record, I have been opposed to since it was proposed. I knew it was just another gimmick. Turns out, not only was I right, but if it was implemented, it's unaffordable. It isn't even really being implemented because they are essentially, to get to your 50% tax deduction on your real estate taxes, they count the senior freeze, they count the anchor program, and then what's left is Stay NJ. And I had calls all tax season to people saying they got $50 back. Unbelievable. What do you think?
Well, when it was presented to us, they made it clear that the stay was going to be a third program to come into play to get you to half your taxes with all three programs. So they did kind of make that clear to us before they rolled it out.
Well, to who? To me, tax collectors?
Public?
Yeah, tax collectors, right? The public did not know that. The public literally thought they were going to get a $6,000 check on a $12,000 tax bill. And when they got $40, they were the level. I'm so angry about this, Kathy, because it was, you know, duped again.
I never really thought it was sustainable. I mean, quite honestly, the way, you know, I mean, there's a lot of seniors in the state and they just can't be giving this money away. It's just crazy. But it's a shame that they made them think that they could. And now she's even talking about taking it away or lowering it. Or
they're talking about lowering. If they lower it, you'll get nothing. I mean, if they lower it by $100, you won't get anything. They're talking about now even sacking the anchor program.
Because I know, like, I have some seniors that will get where the stay doesn't even come into play because they're already getting more than half their taxes with the anchor and the freeze portion. So the stay doesn't even come into play because they'll just keep getting what they get.
What's the number one complaint you get? What's the number one complaint you get, Kathy?
Mostly, we do get a lot of the application, but we have people just come in and we fill it out for them. Because, like, as a collector, I think it's simplified. You know, I get it, but I do it every day. So, as a resident, I can see the difficulty. But it is really simplified. Because if it doesn't apply to you, you just skip the question. And it kind of says that. Mm-hmm. And now that it's all in one application, you just fill out what you fill out, what they ask you. And then what applies, they'll pull from the application what applies. So, if you made too much for the freeze, then they'll go on to the anchor. And then they'll do the math. So say you didn't apply or you didn't qualify for the freeze or the anchor because you were at $300,000 in income, then you would get the same dollar amount. It would just be paid all in the stay as opposed to all three.
Right, because that exemption's up to $500,000, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for the stay and Jay. Yeah, right. It's you know what it is? It's frustrating because with anchor and the senior freeze, most seniors complain about the taxes anyway. They're still paying too much. So the idea that they sold this bill of goods on Stay NJ was the feeling was, oh, I'm going to get more. But then when you find out, no, not really, and only rare exceptions, that there's a level of frustration with voters out there. The problem, Kathy, is it doesn't translate into votes.
Right.
Most people still stay home. You know, the turnout in this primary was abysmal. I mean, so I don't know what to tell people. If you're not going to vote, if you're like, what, how, you can't fix it. But the sad thing is both parties play these parlor tricks on people. And I mean, the Republicans, for their part, it was so stupid. It made me so angry. And they're half of them are still mad at me because I called them out, which was so obvious to me. That they're like, no, the problem with the stay and Jay is it should be implemented immediately. But even if it had been implemented immediately, the same problems would have occurred. And and what they're so dumb about is they would have been left holding the bag. It would have been more of a Republican problem. They still got creamed in the election. But it's just so frustrating. It must be frustrating to you as a tax collector. How much of the brunt do you get? Do residents take out on you?
They're actually really good, I have to say. They get frustrated, but once we talk, you know, we talk them off the ledge and they're good about it. But I have to say, for the most part, the residents are happy because they've always been getting the freeze and the anchor, and now they're just getting some more.
I love it. I wish it carried through the whole state. I know Medford Lakes is a beautiful community, and I think some of our smaller communities like that are, you know, they're happy to get anything more. But boy, wouldn't it be nice?
Well, I'm not even a collector there. I'm here in Evesham, where we have a much bigger town. And but what I hear about is the school taxes. When the taxes get raised, they go bananas.
Yeah, I mean, what is your percentage there? I mean, the average across the state is like 54%. What is it in Evesham?
Our ratio?
Yeah, the percentage of the property taxes going to education.
Oh, 2/3. The tax bill. Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
And they're raising it again, obscene this year.
It's so frustrating. Well, thanks, Kathy. Thanks for shining some light and giving some perspective. You have a great day.
Yes, and you too. But real quick, I heard the gentleman who just got like a $30 check and he has no idea why, or somebody else got nothing and has no idea why. We do hear that a lot of times, and they'll call us. We have a designated line for tax collectors, and we call all day. We talk to the state, and a lot of times it could be something very simple, and they fix it while we're on the phone, and then they push it through. And
should I have that person call his local tax collector and ask if they can solve it?
Yeah, you could certainly do that. I don't want to like put anybody under the bus, but I know some towns don't do that. They just tell their residents to call. But if if someone wanted to call me, I'd be happy to call because I call the state.
Thank you. If you don't mind, if I could put you on hold just so we get your contact. And I have one person in particular in mind that I'm hoping you can help. He's an elderly veteran, so frustrated, didn't get anything this year, does not know who to turn to. We've had no luck getting through to Senator Bob Smith's office. So
I'd be happy to help him.
You are the best. Kathy, I'm going to put you on a brief hold. Thank you so much. See, Jersey, there are good people out there. Thank you to Kathy and Medford Lakes. All right, it's 8:16. Other side of the traffic and weather, we're going to do Small Business Monday.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
8:23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. You know, I was going to wait till 9. But I gotta just share this with you. So I got a huge problem, Jill.
This explains why I was laughing when I went into traffic.
Let's just say I'm down a whole rabbit hole now. One problem has begotten other problems. So now I'm still $2 short. Let me explain. I wanted to download an app today.
We never thought of this.
I wanted to with my phone. So I went for my Face ID, and it said face not recognized.
Yeah.
So I kept trying different ways. Now, I may be locked out. I don't know. Of course, I don't know my Apple ID password. I have it written down in a folder at home, which is labeled passwords.
It's right there on your phone.
What, my Apple ID password?
We'll get to that. But anyway.
How is it written? It is?
Yeah. Anyway.
I could go find, don't I need the password to unlock the passwords?
This is more entertaining. Go ahead.
So it doesn't recognize me because I shaved.
Right.
So I just ordered. I went to Amazon.
So I had a great idea.
You had a great idea. You're like, what about a fake beard?
All of a sudden it turned into a TV sitcom episode. I'm like, get a fake beard.
So here's the thing. I have Prime, so it's free shipping. Oh my God. But I want this app. So the fake beard is only $5.99.
So what? It's Prime.
Not enough. You need $25 for
what?
Delivery today.
We have Prime.
Yeah, Prime gives you same day delivery, but minimum $25.
Oh, and then,
same day. It'll be here by 4 o'clock
and
today.
It's free delivery.
Order
but
something
it's...
else.
Right. So.
Oh, he's ordering Kathy.
I'm already doing it. So I clicked on eligible items, and I added sandwich bags. I added a moisturizer that Jody uses, but I'm still up to. Hold on.
Jody's probably like, I don't use that moisturizer anymore.
I should probably check with her. All right, here we go. Dr. Bronner's Organic Lip Balm. Done.
All right, what if I get the fake beard for you? Let's see.
No, hold on. Oh, crap. I just ordered two. Wait a minute. All right, All right, I'm now at... That's it. I did it. So I am now checking out.
You really think this fake beard is going to work?
Well, it was worth the $38 that I just spent.
I think you should get a good one, though.
No. With a good one. What? I need it for the face ID. I'm not really going to wear a fake beard. I want to grow my beard back.
Okay.
Miss it. It's only been a week.
I need to tell the listeners, the beards that he's looking at are, they look like Amish. You look like
got the smaller one. It's like a small,
you got the smaller
but I also
one?
Got
okay.
different colors. Because it comes in a 4-pack.
You have a salt and pepper thing going on.
There's a salt and pepper, there's a black, there's a brown, and then there's a white.
Dude, if this works...
So I can have a progression of... If it works, what if it works?
I'm going to be so happy.
So anyway,
I love this.
The problem is it just cost me $38 to try your theory. Amazon turned a $5 purchase into a $40 purchase.
Don't blame me. See, I could get free delivery tomorrow on this with this fake beard.
Yeah, go ahead, click on it. See what happens. All right. Now go into your cart.
Wait.
How much did you spend on the beard?
Free one-day delivery, $15.98.
One day. It'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I want it today.
It's coming at 5 o'clock.
Oh,
to get
seriously?
Same day. You need same day.
Why do you need
four,
it that?
Because I have to have it on the air tomorrow. That's why. I need this app.
You know, we could just find your password.
I... No, here's the problem. I got to wait. I know. I realize I could get my password when I go home, but it bothers me.
Get your password.
I don't know. How do you get your Apple ID password on your phone? Are you showing me this?
Yeah, Thomas just walked in to show you.
Producer Thomas just walked in to show Jill what he wants to do.
He's going to buy a fake beard. Oh, gosh. That looks like the Ten Commandments.
That's a full Moses
beard.
Yeah,
that is Moses.
I don't want to go crazy. But the question is, Kathy, yes? Oh, Kathy wants me to break. Anyway, here's the update. The beard is ordered. I will try the face ID with the fake beard tomorrow. Small Business Monday after the news with Eric Scott. So if you got a business you want to plug, or if you have a good way of memorizing your... Hey, if anybody knows my Apple ID password, let me know. 827, Eric Scott with your news now. I've 8:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, we're going to get to Small Business Monday. But first, Abby has a comment about the whole beard situation. Good morning, Abby in Warren Township. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm sorry, but you have me laughing so hard. Let me see if I can get through this. I feel comfortable telling you because we're the same age and you need to get with the times. Do you think you're the only one who has an Apple phone that's shaved? I'm sorry.
What?
Go to Apple. Go back into your ID. Let it recognize you with whatever. You probably look like a baby these days. I haven't seen you. What are you going to put the fake beard every time you need to use the phone?
Well, I want to see if it'll work. I'm kind of down a rabbit hole now, Abby. I just spent $38 on that. Here's what happened. Jill Myra has the ID.
You can cancel it immediately. You can cancel the order. Your coworkers are amazing.
Abby's got a good point, though.
You narcissist, you're going to blame me. Jody's going to be
totally
like, why'd you buy all this stuff? It's Jill's fault.
Jody's going to get, I think I bought 200 sandwich bags just to get the order up over $25. So we're going to have all these sandwich bags. Now she's going to be like, what are you planning?
You're going to be so much trouble.
It was a lot of work.
Is go to any Apple store and they'll help you. I'm hilarious.
Wait, if I go to an Apple store, will they
wait too more time?
Jill is nodding her head that you're right.
Jody's going to end up with a bunch of things she doesn't need.
I do feel for my wife, but sometimes I blame her because I'm like, well, you were supposed to be watching me. Like, you were supposed to tell me not to buy that.
You know what, though? How much fun is this going to be if this works?
What if it works? Abby, that's think of it that thing. Way. What if the Sorry. Fake beard works? Right? I will have discovered
exactly.
how to override other people's phones, perhaps.
I know, but...
Like,
you know,
I can help you if you've shaved.
I know, Bill, but do you know
I
how
can,
many...
I could rent out the beard.
But do you know how many times you have to put the beard on and off,
I'll just carry
it
in my pocket. That's all. I could carry the beard in my back pocket. I'm wearing jeans. It'll fit in the pocket. I throw it on. Boom. I'm in my phone.
I'm just glad we brought such joy to her.
Well, Abby, thank you. I want to grow the beard back, but I can't yet because I agreed with Newsmax asked me to shave it, and I'm like, all right. So I did it. Not one person has thanked me for it, though.
I was just trying to save you some money and time.
Abby, I do appreciate you. Thank you. You have a great rest of the day. I will report back tomorrow if it works. You take care. Bye-bye. So, I don't know. Kathy,
I know what it is. It's a time thing. She said, if you have the time. You don't have the time.
See, here,
that's why you're doing
it. Thank you, Kathy. I'm working every day, and I know I'm not the only one. I know a lot of people are out there working as hard as I am.
You want it, what you want, and you want it now.
Well, because can you imagine how much time I would have to spend in the Apple store?
Yes. Like,
I dread replacing my phone. I do it all online now because
that's
I've
why
gone
I have two phones. I told you.
It's easier.
I needed a new phone and I couldn't be bothered to wait for it. Or
bought another one.
Just give me a new phone.
Give me a phone. I'm the same way. I have because, and I'm not knocking the Apple stores or the AT&T stores, but the retail experience in those places is terrible. And it's not that they don't want to help you, but they're not geared toward customer service. So you get these young kids that work there that spend their day in their phone. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to interact with you. They kind of look at you. You walk in, they're like, here's another stupid boomer that has no idea what he's doing. And they don't have the level of patience. So the worst part is, if they do have the patience, they spend so much time with one customer walking them through. I have waited 45 minutes to get seen. There's no way. So, fake beard. We'll let you know how it works out. Let's go to Rich in Lavalette. Rich, Vita Rich Coffee. I've tried.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
All right, so
I think the whole beard thing is going to be a tough act to follow here.
Ah, dude, this beard thing is driving me crazy. I just want to grow it back. So, producer Thomas has been annoyed at me for the better part of the hour because I was supposed to get into Small Business Monday, and all of a sudden I got distracted because I couldn't get on my phone. I just, before you continue, Rich, I just want to thank Dot Designing for their patience on me, and of course they sponsor Small Business Monday. It's dotdesigning.com, and they are a group that can help you grow your business. You get started with a Small Business Starter Package. It's only $2.99, signs, T-shirts. Go check out the website, dotdesigning.com. All right, so the other thing he's been annoyed, Rich, is how many weeks has it been since I saw you the first time? At Dino's.
It's been a bit, Bill.
So months. Every week he's like, hey, Rich is calling. Did you try the coffee yet? And I'm like, crap, I forgot to try the coffee. So it's sitting on my shelf. So producer Thomas, you'll be happy to hear, I tried it. However, I get no credit. Friday night, I'm hosting Trev's comedy show at Dino's. Rich is there. He literally walks out with a cup of his mushroom mixture already mixed in. He's like, I know you're not going to try it unless I make you try it. And he handed it to me.
We got to take it by delicious. The hand, apparently. Bro.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Rich. I did not even have it in coffee. I had it just mixed in water. Delicious taste. Tell
exactly.
us.
Exactly. And it was cold. It was cold in water because I didn't want to, I know you're an early morning guy. I didn't want to hit you with a cup of caffeine that late at night.
Thank you, because I was getting up at 2:30.
But I'm hoping you had a chance over the weekend to try it for real in your coffee.
Not yet. But I will now that I know it's good. But here's the thing.
Well,
tell me.
That's a good start.
Hey, the fact that I know it's good, I can now tell people that you want to get this. So tell me the health benefits.
So it's a full. It starts with a full dose of collagen, and this is kind of the niche we targeted. There were so many people putting straight collagen into their coffee and getting virtually no benefit from it. Collagen is really just a low-end protein, but it's a dense source of glycine.
Yep.
Glycine is what your body needs to make its own collagen, but to make use of the glycine, it needs vitamin C, vitamin A, zinc, copper, manganese, all these other nutrients, which we very intentionally built into the superfood blend of VitaRich. So at its core, it's a really effective collagen booster.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a huge fan, as I know are you, of the benefits of mushrooms. So we then added on a really high-end mushroom blend and a superfood blend. So there's a full gram of lion's mane, which is for brain health and gut health. There's cordyceps mushrooms, which is for natural energy and stamina. Cordyceps boosts ATP, which brings more oxygen into your blood. And then the superfood blend, and get your music guy ready, there's raw cacao, spirulina, and beetroot, all of which are very magnesium dense. So it's a nice natural little magnesium booster, which is the number one deficiency, especially amongst women. They're all good prebiotics, so long-term it's really good for your gut. There it is.
Oh, there we go. Every time it's said, the band was a little tired. It's Monday. It took them a minute. Now, what's the benefit of that ingredient?
But the cacao, one is very magnesium dense. It's a great
super in Rich. General. Rich. All right, Rich, what's the benefit of that ingredient?
So it, along with the other superfoods, besides the magnesium, the great prebiotics, they all boost nitric oxide. Nitric oxide increases blood flow, so you're getting more blood, carrying more oxygen from the ATP from the mushrooms, all working synergistically together for mental clarity and focus and for natural energy and stamina.
I love it.
And as the commercial goes, but wait, there's more. There's healthy fats, there's MCT oil for quick energy, and there's coconut milk for the omegas.
Yeah, and you know what, honestly, but if it didn't taste good, it wouldn't matter. No one would have it. And it's good. It has a nice taste to it. How is it sweetened? Because it had a sweetness to it.
The natural beetroot. There's no sugar, period, natural or otherwise. There's no flavoring, natural or otherwise. Natural, the beetroot.
So it's not stevia or anything,
and then
like
also
that.
There's a touch of monk fruit, which is actually really high end.
Monk fruit and beet juice. I love it. It's great. All right, go to VitaRich.com. That's VIDARICH. VIDA, VitaRich.com. All right, man. Good luck. I hope
the sales
are through the roof.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that you loved it, man.
I appreciate you, Rich. You have a great rest of your day. All right, it's 8:46. I am Bill Spadia. Traffic and weather next.
Don't get bitter. Get better.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
Arrow.
.853 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talk to Jersey. Taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. Hey, on the other side, 9 o'clock, got a local author who's written a book about climate change. And today, interestingly enough, the Climate Superfund is being debated in Trenton. This is arguably one of, I'm not going to say the dumbest, because Trenton comes up with a lot of stupid crap. But it's arguably one of the dumbest things they have concocted. They want to charge $50 billion to fossil fuel companies for their share of the climate crisis. So let me say a couple things to you. Number one, there is no climate crisis. The climate has been changing as long as there has been a climate. That's what climates do. They change. Number two. Don't get distracted by the panickers out there. We are not in a severe drought situation. Run your bath, fill your pool, water your lawn. You're going to be fine. You know, the reservoirs average between 70 and 80% capacity. Do you know most reservoirs in New Jersey right now are north of 70%? And it's going to rain this week. Just stop. What happens is that you get these guys, like, think about it. You're the climatologist in New Jersey. Your big day is when there's a situation that somebody's got to call the chief climatologist. And they feed off of the clicks and the scared and the panickers and everything else. None of it's real. None of it's real. The climate always is changing. It was warmer 1,500 years ago. Stop it. Then there was an ice age. Then it got warm again. And do you know that over literally hundreds of thousands of years, the ice core samples have shown that CO2 increases follow warming. They don't cause it. They follow it. Most of your CO2 is coming from evaporation and the oceans. And yes, a lot of it's coming from animal life. Cows. That's why they're attacking meat. It's so stupid. CO2 is wonderful. We need it. It's what plants crave. Have we heard that before? Yeah, Idiocracy. And that's what we're living through right now. So don't panic over the fact that there's a technical drought. It's like panic when you go to the doctor and they give you some cholesterol number. And all of a sudden you're going to be convinced to go on drugs. Don't panic. It's panicking when you get the COVID test, which we know was not accurate ever. Yet you line up and took all kinds of precautions and shots and medicine. Everyone needs to dial back everything. Everything that you're hearing is so focused on clickbait and fear, and you've just got to rise above it. To make it easier, I will write about this tomorrow and give out some details on why we should not be worried about this current so-called drought. 8:56, Jen Ursillo with your news next.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
.909 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey. Taking your calls 1-800-283-101.5. I want to thank Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning. every hour in the show. All right, Jen, just so you know, and Kathy, we are back online. Despite Kathy's valiant efforts this morning, we were unable to get online, but we are back on YouTube because Sergio Bichao.
Don't get bitter.
I should probably explain to the band that Bichao is not cacao.
I didn't do it. Oh.
Don't get bitter. Get bitter.
You realize this is automatic.
Is it automatic now?
Yeah, I didn't do it. It's like Siri when she listens.
See, Siri is... So we're going to have to teach Studio Siri.
So it's getting confused. It's hearing.
It hears one thing and thinks it's the other.
Correct. Don't say it again.
Because and I appreciate Sergio.
Sergio B.
Sergio B. Maybe we'll go with B. And we can't, what are we going to say for cow? We can't say the C word.
I think even if you're talking about a cow, that could trigger.
Even a cow could trigger.
What else rhymes with
Now, brown cow.
Oh, you got to really check yourself. To think about this. We're going to have to check ourselves.
We're going to have to. We may have to shut the whole thing down and reboot. We'll have to figure that out.
This could trip at any time in the morning.
I'm a little concerned. All right. I want to check in with Kevin Mooney, who has written a book called Climate Porn. Kevin, what do you got for us?
Well, Mr. Bill, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate being here and glad to discuss this book, which comes, I think, at an important time.
Well, you've got the climate fund nonsense going on where they're blaming companies for something that is not only naturally occurring, but this is just another money grab. They are literally trying to stick $50 billion. And, you know, it's amazing, Kevin, they use these ridiculous studies that say nothing, project nonsense, and there's no way to attach it to what these fossil fuel companies are doing on a daily basis. It's madness. How do you address it in the book?
Well, a couple of different ways. I mean, first of all, I think the climate movement right from the beginning was a way to create a new revenue stream for the United Nations. I mean, that was always follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
And climate was used to basically fund all these international initiatives that are aimed at attacking what I view as the American constitutional order, limited government, and switch that out in exchange for globalism and transnationalism. So I think at the bottom of it, that's what this movement is about. But there's a lot of money tied up in the movement, and I do go through in the book a whole series of very abusive litigation practices these green pressure groups use to shake down American energy companies. And of course, there's a foreign angle to it too. If you look at the money trail behind a lot of these green litigators, it leads back to Beijing and other parts of the world too. So that's part of the dynamic that's at work here.
Do you talk about any of the science? Because I don't know. Like, how do you talk about the overall movement and how they have addressed this and got, you know, a whole young generation scared to death, thinking that the solution is electric cars, which is patently absurd.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up. There's a whole section in the book about really what I view as a propagandistic approach to science. I mean, I began researching what public schools were teaching during the COVID shutdowns, looking at some of the graphic kind of curriculum that was being interjected and forced on young students. And along the way, I discovered they were also pushing climate propaganda. They were basically telling students to divorce themselves from the scientific method, that the ending is already written, and then you manipulate the process any which way to get the desired results that regulators want. Well, of course, that's not the scientific method. The scientific method is to have a hypothesis, test it, see if it's falsifiable, then let the chips fall where they may. So what I saw in terms of how climate change is being taught, that to me was sort of a pornographic view of science. And unfortunately, they've made some inroads, especially in our public school system. There is a counter movement underway, so I have some good news, too.
I love it. All right, where do we buy the book?
You can find it on Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. Those are probably the three best sites. Amazon is usually where I go, and the book's selling well. And I think offering a counterpoint to the preferred narrative of the news media and its acolytes in the Green Movement.
I love it. Kevin, I'm going to buy it today. I'm going to get it on Amazon, have it delivered. I'm going to read it and give you my feedback. And I appreciate you doing the work and the research. And I do agree with you. I think there's that counter balance is coming, and but it takes thoughtful, smart people like you to help facilitate it. So thank you for doing it. The book is called Climate Porn. Google it, buy it online, and enjoy the read. Get educated. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. You take care. All right, 9:15. Fast traffic into the next.
From the shore to your street, we're talking about what matters to you. New Jersey 101.5.
22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, so I was earlier ranting, and I'm going to just continue it quickly. Not just the climate porn in Kevin Mooney's book and all the lies that are being told, but let me tell you something about this drought that you're hearing. I looked it up, so I went to the New Jersey websites. There's a site that reports on this from New Jersey. And if you look at the average, so I looked it up. What's the average reservoir fill percentage across New Jersey past 20 years? It is between 70 and 80%. It has fallen to 60 and in some cases 50. When there is a prolonged dry period, a severe problem will be if a reservoir falls to 30 to 40%. Okay, fair. You get that down to 30 or 40%, I would understand someone saying, hey, woo, we got to slow down here with our water usage. Wanacue Reservoir is at 75, Round Valley, 70, Manasquan, 76%. Right now. So we have no problem right now. And you know what also occurred to me? Maybe it occurred to you. If you hear the government telling you, you should start reserving and holding back and not using your water, how about the data centers and the massive water consumption of the data centers? How about that? And somebody pointed out, oh, they use that, they are recycling that water. Really? Well, that's like saying, I'm going to fill my pool thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons in some cases. Yet, I'm going to use the same water. It's not like I'm filling it up every day. Yeah, but if you're in the middle of a drought and you got people filling their pools, you're talking, how many gallons are you talking about across the state? This is all designed to shift the burden on you as an individual and away from these data centers, which I believe should not have any locations in New Jersey. This data center thing is ridiculous in terms of the noise pollution, in terms of the coverage of the ground, and in terms of the usage of power, electricity. We have people worried about what's coming off some of these high tension lines and the power lines. Has anyone done a study of what could potentially be harmful to the local environment with a data center in a rural town? How the hell are we justifying putting a data center in Vineland? Yet we have all of this other open space, protected space all over, not in the middle of a community. So you are always the target. So when the climatologist wants to talk about a drought, oh, we're very concerned with this. Really, I'm not. The average reservoir fill is between 70 and 80, and we are literally right there. And then it's going to rain. Somebody's looking for clicks. And I'm just, I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of it. There's a website. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the New Jersey Reservoirs and Dams water storage website. And I'll give it to you. So you don't have to take my word for it. It's SNOFLO. Snowflow. SNOFLO.org. And all of the data is updated constantly. So this idea that someone's even going to suggest that there could be potential of you having to sacrifice, you, the working and middle class of New Jersey. And no one's going to talk about the data centers and their overuse of water and energy. You pay. And the rich keep getting richer. And I'm sick and tired of it. And on that side note, completely unrelated, President Trump should not be going to the Knicks game tonight. And the idea that they had to shut down streets around Madison Square Garden, inconveniencing everybody in that area. The idea that they canceled the watch party for regular New Yorkers outside of Penn Station is ridiculous. The president should understand the optics. You got a nation at war from the no war, no new war president. Yet here we are. You got $4 and $5 and in some places $6 and $7 a gallon. Your electric bill at home is north of $500 or $600 a month. This is a distraction, and I'm sick and tired of it. He knows better. You're going to inconvenience tens of thousands of commuters. It's already inconvenient having the big game there. So go Knicks, win in four, and be done with this. But I'm tired of it. I'm tired of a guy that just dismisses anyone that criticizes him. Do you see him walking off the set? He did an NBC interview, got pissed off, didn't like the questions, and stormed off. I've had enough. And it's time for the MAGA core group to hold him accountable. You just can't get. I have someone tweeting at me angry that I have called him out on this game. And she's like, he's the president. He can do what he wants. No, doesn't work that way. The president should stay home. Build the ballroom. Go watch the Knicks game in your new ballroom. This is absurd that you have a guy that has all the power in the world, all the money in the world, but he's going to go take the invitation. I get it. The Knicks owner invited him. I get it. He has a right to go. But guys, we're suffering as a country economically. We've lost soldiers in battle just this year. And here we are talking about what? We're going to shut down essentially all the streets around Madison Square Garden so the president can go and sit in a box and watch the game? The optics are bad enough. It's just a very selfish and arrogant thing, and he should know better. I wish he did. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. Al, in Staten Island, you hang in there. I'll get to you first after the news with Jen Ercillo next. 938 in New Jersey, 101.5. Here's your instant weather. I did it again.
What
I did it again.
What are you doing?
Jen, I did it again.
I know you did. And you know what's so funny? In my head, I'm like, I wonder if he's going to do it again. And you did.
You know why? Because Kathy and I are talking. I'm a little behind.
Pavlov's dog.
Ads. Pavlov's
you
dog.
You are Pavlov's
so
dog.
I'm
oh,
like,
my
do
God.
Do I have time? Because I got Al, and then Mark wants to yell at me, and I'm like, I got to take these
traffic
guys.
Traffic and weather.
And there's all kinds of stuff going on. So I just asked her, how long is the weather report? And she's like, it's about 90. I'm like, oh.
you were just.
So I was doing math. I was doing, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Scary.
And then I just went right with it.
You know the name of Pavlov's dog, right?
Yes. I am that dog.
No, but you know the name of Pavlov's dog.
What?
It's Cacao.
Come
That's
on.
That's the name of the dog. I don't know what you want me to do.
There goes your talk time.
Sabotage from within.
Jen, that was good.
That was very good. Let's real quick go to Al on Staten Island. Al, you got about 30 seconds. What do you got?
Hi, Bill. Good morning. I just want to mention with water usage by the big data centers.
Yeah.
It's water usage is coming because of the humongous air conditioning systems.
Yep.
Requiring cool data centers, and the water evaporates, and you have to have makeup water. And there's no way around it because the water-cooled air conditioning is a very efficient, but it does use water. And
it's going to be millions of gallons, and I am aggravated. I want to close every one of these data centers. I think they ought to be shut down and shipped out. We don't want them here, and I don't want to be lectured about water usage in my garden so my tomatoes get watered while you've got these massive data centers making millions and billions of dollars for these corporate elites, and you and I get nothing. We get nothing but the heartache and the aggravation, and I'm sick of it. And I'll tell you another thing, Al. They are pushing this panic and fear over a drought that is not really happening if you look at the reservoir levels. But the minute it drops from 80% to 76%, they're like, uh-oh, Al and Bill better turn off their garden hose. I'm sick of it. With the water that the data centers use, you're spot on. It's a slap in the face to all of us. Thank you, Al. Appreciate you. Mark, I'll put you on real quick on the other side of traffic. Weather next.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dubinsky and more. We're New Jersey 101.5. Oh.
9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, I'm going to give you the last word here, Mark, in Jersey City. What do you got for us?
Bill, before that very long break, you said Mark wants to yell at you. I respect you way too much to yell at you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Because I'm on your side. You know, as far as Trump going to the Knick game, Cash Patel had that opportunity to go into the locker room with USA One Gold. Trump is probably, in my opinion, one of the hardest working presidents ever. You know, so if he has some personal time where he can sit down and go to a Knick game, I'm not opposed to that.
I understand that.
I think good for him. You know, good for him. He works hard. He really does work hard.
I don't disagree.
I think a lot of mega would agree with me on that.
Are you kidding? I'm getting yelled at on the app chat. People are mad because they're like, hey, he's a great president. Look, I don't dispute that. I don't dispute how hard he works. I think the optics are bad. He's obviously pissed off. He walked off that interview this weekend. I don't like when he does stuff like that because, honestly, he is smarter than these reporters. They're obviously shilling a narrative to cover for the deep state, but Trump has to not let them get under his skin like that. He should have calmly just pushed back and said, what are you talking about? You're telling me that a candidate that got like 17% on Election Day got 50% in the mail-in and the other guy I got next to nothing. No way. We know they cheated. We know that California has allowed for years illegals to vote till a judge struck it down in 2022. But you're telling me none of those illegal criminals are still on the rolls? Of course they are. So we know there's fraud. I'm mad about this, Mark, because I got to tell you, it's a little personal, but I'm thinking about the working guys. And I'm like, man, I'm lucky tonight. I don't have to work in Manhattan because it is going to be a brutal commute. And I don't like the fact that his presence at the Garden, and it would be true for any president. And by the way, I would have said the same of Obama or Clinton or anybody else. Stay away from the events that regular people want to go see their team. What Trump should have done is hosted a watch party in D.C. or come to New York and hosted a watch party in Central Park or at one of his hotels, done something that made it free for the regular people. Like, show who you are, because we know who you are. Anyway, Mark, thank you. Appreciate the respect comment. Right back at you. Guys, it is 9:54. We got a lot coming up tomorrow. It's only Monday. The week is just starting. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'll have an update on the problems we solved for regular New Jerseyans today, tomorrow morning.